It is good to see you tonight. I wanted to just take a moment and remind you, if you haven't been able to call the senators and representatives on the list back there about overriding the veto of Senate Bill 43, the Protect Religious Meeting Places, then I would encourage you to do that. Senator McInnes's office was telling Mrs. Pond yesterday that the vote could happen at any time. Those things get kind of tricky sometimes with the votes are there, they're trying to get them, and sometimes there might even be a sneaky deal or two. But he also said that probably won't happen until the budget is dealt with. So that gives us a little bit more time. So if you have not been able to do that yet, I would encourage you, the sheets I think are still in the back, and encourage you to do that. Turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27 tonight. Genesis 27, and we want to read at verse 22. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau," and he discerned him not. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, these are such incredibly important words. And there is no ability of the person standing here tonight to convey the importance of these words. But we thank you that you can, by the power of your Spirit. And we pray that we would allow him to do that tonight, to open our eyes and to behold wondrous things from your law, things that will help us in the days ahead, things that will help us at 8 o'clock in the morning to live for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'd like to finish Sunday night's message. We came to Isaac's words here in verses 22 and 23 at the end of that message, and didn't really have time to think about them. But as we read them Sunday night, we made the observation that these are among the most important of the things that were written aforetime here in the Old Testament for our learning. The Bible, the Word of God, is an amazing book. And sometime, and this is what makes it so amazing, sometimes we see the wonder of it and something of the depth of it in just a few short words as we read them and they jump off the page at us. Isaac's words here fall into that category. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau, and he discerned him not. So much of the failure of God's people, so much of the sin which does so easily beset us, so much of the loss of our testimony, so many of the difficulties that we have in the Christian life can be traced to our doing exactly what Isaac did here. Isaac heard Jacob's voice, and he knew without any doubt that it was Jacob's voice. There was no question about it. And yet, instead of going by what he heard, Isaac went by what he felt. And so tonight, we want to at least begin to see how pervasive this problem is here in the Word of God. Turn back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This is the voice of God that spoke those words to Adam. Now look at chapter 3. Here in this chapter, Genesis chapter 3, as we have seen on so many occasions, the serpent comes. And the first thing that he does is to question and cast doubt on God's word. "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And then he says in verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In verse 1, the serpent is casting doubt on the word of God. In verse 5, he is questioning and casting doubt on the goodness of God. He's working on Eve's imagination. Satan is using doubt. He's using imagination, because these are things that affect our feelings. These are things that affect our emotions. And so with Eve's feelings and her emotions stirred up through the doubt and the imagination that the serpent cast, we come to verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," seeing is the gateway to our mind and our emotions. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," this is the lust of the flesh. Genesis chapter 6 overlays perfectly with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. This is the lust of the flesh. "And then the woman saw that it was pleasant to the eyes." Pleasure, being pleased, is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's the lust of the eyes that we read about in 1 John chapter 2. "And a tree to be desired to make one wise," that's the pride of life. Pride is a feeling. Doubt, imagination, lust, desire, pleasant, pleasing, pride. These emotions and these feelings are running wild, if you will, in Eve. And here she is then, exactly where Isaac is. The voice is the voice of God. "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau. The feelings is what we're thinking about. Eve didn't listen to the voice of God. Instead, she went and she acted on her emotions and her feelings, and she discerned not the serpent and his subtlety, and she was beguiled, deceived. 1 Timothy 2:14 says, "The woman being deceived was in the transgression." How many times does it happen to us exactly that way? Exactly as it happened to Eve. The voice is the voice of God, and we know it clearly. But the hands are the hands of Esau. The feelings, the emotions that govern us cause us to not discern the serpent and his subtlety, and were deceived. Now, Adam was not deceived. Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy 2:14. But did he not do the same thing that Eve did? The voice is the voice of God. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Adam went by what he felt. And what was it that Adam felt? Well, one thing that Adam felt was loneliness. That's one of the emotions that he had felt. I believe it's one of the emotions that he feared. Look at Genesis 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Alone. The Lord said that because he knew that Adam was lonely. You see, he knew Adam's frame. He knew that Adam was dust, just as he knows our frame. And so the Lord knew that Adam was lonely. Loneliness is an emotion. It's a feeling. And Adam gave into it here, I believe. And knowingly joined Eve in her rebellion. Because he did not want to be alone. He did not want to lose her. If you want to read... Well, we'll talk about that in another message. I don't want to get off the track tonight, or we'll be here longer than we should be. But love is another emotion that Adam felt. Look at chapter 2 and verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Those are words of love. This man who had been lonely, who had experienced loneliness, these are words of love for this woman that God has brought to him. I don't believe that there is a husband here tonight that did not experience those very emotions that Adam did when our bride was brought to us. And so here is Adam, exactly where Isaac is. The voice is the voice of God. "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And Adam followed his feelings. How many Christian husbands and wives have done exactly the same thing? They've ignored the voice of God for the hands of Esau. They followed their emotions. They followed their feelings right into rebellion against the Lord. We see this in the life of Abraham. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12, if you will. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Those two words in verse 1 had said, chronologically, put this verse in chapter 11, probably right after verse 29. "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now there's two things that we want to notice in that verse. The first one is the word "thee" and the word "thy." Those words are singular. God's call was to Abram. Isaiah 51 and verse 2. Isaiah wrote to the children of Israel and said, "Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. God's call to Abram was a singular call to him, but since Sarah was his wife and they were one flesh, it was to her too, because she could not bear Isaac. She could not bear the nation of Israel if she did not go with her husband. And that's why Isaiah 51:2 is telling us, it's what it's telling us when it says to look unto Sarah. Look unto Abraham your father, but look unto Sarah that bare you. The second thing that we will notice is how the Lord underscored the singular nature of his call to Abraham. We see that in the words, out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. This is the call of God to Abram. And that call of God put Abram exactly where we see Isaac. The voice is the voice of God. Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and go to a land that I'm going to show thee. The voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And it's important to notice, just as in the case of Adam and Eve, when the voice of God is present, right there with it will be the hands of Esau. And we see the hands of Esau in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. And Terah, that's Abram's father, that's his father's house, the head of his father's house. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. That's Abram's kindred. And Sarai's daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. The hands of Esau and Abram's life in verse 11 are the emotions and the feelings that are connected with family. The emotions and the feelings that are connected with family. Terah, Abram's father, and Lot, his nephew, go with Abram and Sarai, and they come to Haran and they dwell there. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, above verse 31 it says, incomplete obedience. And I guess the word incomplete refers to the fact that Abram did leave his country. He did leave Ur of the Chaldees. But he did not leave his father's house. His father, the head of that house, came. And he did not leave his kindred, because there is Lot, his nephew. And one out of three might make a pretty good batting average when it comes to baseball. But it's not when it comes to obedience to God. The other part of the note says, the wasted years at Haran. I've tried to figure out just how many years that Abram wasted at Haran. And there is no way to get a precise number. But I believe we can get an idea of the number. If you begin with chapter 11 and verse 10, and you go through the genealogy from Shem to Terah, you find that the average age of the men marrying and having children was 43 years. If we take that number as Abram's age when he took Sarai to wife in verse 29, verse 30 tells us she was barren, and so there was no lack of trying to produce seed. And if 43 was the age when God called Abram, in the very next verse they leave for Ur of the Chaldees, then these events seem to fit together. And then we look at chapter 12 and verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. If we take 75, Abram's age when he left Haran, and subtract 43, his age when possibly he got there, then the number of wasted years in Haran would be 32 years. That's just a guess. It could be more, it could be less than that. But it's an idea, it gives us an idea, sort of a place to get a little foothold on the number of wasted years there. Folks, how many Christians have heard the voice of the will of God, but they have felt the hands of Esau and given in to the ties and the connections and the emotions and the feelings of family. And they have wasted years, not days or weeks, but years of their Christian life in disobedience. The Lord Jesus said, beginning in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." These are serious things. They're serious things to think about. Things that are as serious as death. Because sometimes it takes, as it did in Abram's case, the death of the family member to whom our emotions may be attached to move us to obedience. Bring us to a place where we will leave the hands of Esau and we'll hear the voice of God again and bring those wasted years to an end. That is, when they do end. Sometimes the emotions and feelings for family are so strong, those years never end. And we waste our lives for the Lord. And the hold of the hands of Esau, the hold of the emotions and feelings is so strong in our nature that we constantly struggle with it. We constantly struggle with it, especially when it comes to family. Abraham is a prime example of this. Here in chapter 12, after the death of his father, Abram leaves Haran and comes into the land of Canaan. And we read in verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. The voice is the voice of God. Unto thy seed will I give this land." This land. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Notice what Abram does. Verse 9. "And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." What is the emotion and the feeling of Esau's hands here? Provide for the family. Provide for the family. There's a famine. And so, I've got to provide for the family. I've got to get them out of this famine. get them to somewhere where there's food. That's a very strong emotion. So strong that we will allow it to dominate our thinking above the voice of God, even if it means leaving the place where God has called us. I know, because I've done it. Yes, we are to provide for our families. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10 that if any would not work, neither should he eat. He said in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is the voice of God. But his voice there has to be understood and it has to be exercised in accordance with his voice in Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's to be understood in the light of Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then here's the point. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The pull and the hold of the hands of Esau, the feeling and the emotion and the drive to provide for the family, is not to supersede our seeking first the kingdom of God. I'll give you this land. I'm not going to give you the land of Egypt. I'm giving you this land, the land of Canaan. It's not to supersede our seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so Abram goes down into Egypt. And he instructs Sarah to lie. He instructs her to say that Abram is her brother. And you know that the lie is exposed. She's taken into Pharaoh's house. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. And the Lord did that because he says here in his word, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Abram's sin does find him out. And so he comes out of Egypt and he goes back to his tent and he goes back to his altar. That's a picture of repentance and restoration. And that's what happened in his life. But sin has consequences. And while God forgives our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful verse that is. What a wonderful promise. But while God forgives our sins, he does not take away the consequences of our sin. He doesn't take away the consequences from choosing to follow our emotions and our feelings. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And part of the consequences of Abram's ignoring the voice of God and choosing the hands of Esau is the influence that Abram had on his nephew Lot. In Genesis chapter 13, not long after they leave Egypt, in fact, it's the very next event that takes place, Abram and Lot separate. And Abram, you remember, allowed Lot to choose where he would go. He said, if you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. Allowed him to choose first. And what was it? What was it that influenced Lot's choice? Look at Genesis 13 and verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt. One of the consequences of Abram choosing the hands of Lot, or rather the hands of Esau, over the voice of the Lord, is the influence. The effect, the emotions that were stirred up in Lot, the lust of the eyes. Egypt was a pleasant place to look upon. That was the influence that it had on Lot. Another consequence was an Egyptian maid by the name of Hagar. Look at Genesis chapter 15. We mentioned these verses Sunday night, and so for the sake of time, we'll look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord said that Abram and Sarai were going to have a son. They were going to have a son. Now look at chapter 16 and verse 1. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. No, he had not. It just wasn't the Lord's time. It just wasn't the Lord's time. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Not by the Lord, but by Hagar. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. The voice is the voice of the Lord. He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. The first emotion and feeling that we see here is hurry. And haste and urgency. Gail's granddaddy was somebody that we used to enjoy going to see right after we got married. And we'd go visit him, and every time we got ready to leave, it didn't matter how long we stayed, he'd say, what's your hurry? What's your hurry? You know, that's a very good question to live by. What's your hurry? Sarah's in a hurry. She's had it. She's not going to wait any longer. And emotions and feelings are contagious. Have we figured that out yet? Sarah's hurry and haste is picked up by Abram, just like a virus. Folks, the Lord is never in a hurry. The Lord is never in a hurry. And any time that we're in a hurry, then it's a pretty good indication that we have forsaken the voice of the Lord and we are in the grasp of the hands of Esau, being governed by our emotions and our feelings. But there's another emotion, another feeling on display here. In 1 Kings 21 and verse 25, we read this concerning Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now Sarah is not Jezebel. But the point is this: husbands and wives equally have the ability, they have the power to incite, to instigate, to entice, to allure. That's what the word stirred up means. Those are all words of emotion, aren't they? And feeling. In this case, it is Sarai doing the stirring up. And it's Abram who's being stirred up. In Egypt, just a couple of chapters back, it was the other way around. Here, Sarai, with her words, is stirring up Abram, and the result is that he ignores the voice of the Lord. She's ignored it. She's ignored the voice of the Lord. She's in a hurry. And she stirs up Abram into that same emotional condition to where he ignores the voice of the Lord and he chooses the hands of Esau and he enters into the emotions and the feelings of his wife. Go in unto my maid that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And that's exactly what Abram did. Verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. In the world, in a very real way, in this hour, especially the seed of Abraham, is experiencing the emotions and the feelings of Abram's choice of the hands of Esau over the voice of God. Folks, there are no more important words in all the scriptures for God's people than those we find in Genesis 27, 22, and 23. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And the application of those words to you and me: the voice is the voice of God, but the hands are the hands of Esau tonight. How are we living? How are we living? Are we living by the voice of God or by the hands of Esau? Are we living by the voice of God or by our emotions and our feelings? There's more to say about this, but our time is gone. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would take your word tonight, your word, and use it in our hearts to speak to us. The great danger, the tendency of our nature every moment of every day to ignore the voice of God and be held by the hands of Esau, to be held and be directed by our emotions and our feelings. We pray that you would help us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.